Tonight is a special night because we're obviously recognizing and honoring our first graders, but it's also a challenging night for the preacher because I have the responsibility over the next 2 hours or so, 30 minutes or so, of keeping these guys' attention and at the same, now don't start moaning yet, I just got started, and at the same time saying something that would be applicable and be helpful to all of us tonight, and I hope that I'll be able to do that. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the 56th Psalm, Psalm number 56. It's one of the greatest psalms in the Bible. It contains one of my favorite verses in the Bible. In fact, the verse that we're going to be looking at tonight was my grandmother's favorite verse, Psalm 56 and verse number 3. And to the boys and girls tonight, it is on page 639 in your Bible, and they're looking at in an NIV interpretation or translation of the Bible tonight. And so, page 639, Psalm 56, and verse number 3. Now, for you boys and girls, look up here before we get into this. I've got some good news and bad news for you as you begin your first grade year. The bad news is that before some of you get out of first grade, you will have lost your front two teeth. Did you know that? Have any of you already lost your front teeth yet? Some of you have. The good news is, by the end of your first grade year, some of you are going to know how to tie your shoes. Isn't that good news? How many of you can tie your shoes already? All right, the same ones who lost your teeth. You're just raising your hand on anything tonight. But in Psalm 56, this is a wonderful verse, and I want to quote it to you out of the NIV because that's what they're looking at tonight. And here's what it says. David wrote this psalm at a time in his life when he was very much afraid because of the circumstances that were going on in his life. And he says this, "When I am afraid," say that with me, "When I am afraid," and here's the next part of the verse, "I put my trust in you." Say that with me. "I put my trust in you." So let's put the whole verse together and see if we can say it. "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." And so tonight, as I have thought and prayed about what to say to these first graders and what I could say to all of us tonight that would hopefully be of encouragement and help, I want to talk about fear and I want to talk about what to do when we get afraid. Now, from that verse, we learn several things. And for the adults, you might want to write these down. And for the boys and girls, you can just listen for a second. First of all, we learn from that verse that fear is a normal and natural part of life. Notice David said, "When I am afraid." He did not say, "If I am afraid," or "If I get afraid," or "Should I ever be afraid?" He said, "When I am afraid." And so there are times in all of our lives when fear just grips us and we become afraid. It doesn't matter who you are, how long you've been saved, how much you love God. None of us ever get beyond at least, I don't think we do. I haven't gotten beyond it from time to time, having a feeling of fear that comes over us and makes us afraid. And so David said, "Whenever I get afraid, that's when I'm going to put my trust in God." Now, the second thing that we learn from this verse is that when we have feelings of fear that come over us, feelings of anxiety, feelings of nervousness, just feelings of sheer panic or fear, we are in good company. Because in this verse, David was very honest about his own fears. He said, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in God." He didn't say, "When you get afraid, here's what you should do." Although there are other places he does tell us to do the same thing. But in this verse, he's talking about his own fear. And he's talking about his own life. And in this verse, he says, "When I get afraid, that's when I put my trust in God." I was studying all the people, not all, but several of the people in the Bible who struggled with fear. And some of these names that I'm about to mention, in fact, I suppose all of these names I'm about to mention are some of the strongest people in all of the Bible. These were some of the greatest believers that we have any records of their lives. They loved God, they trusted God, they obeyed God, and yet in their hearts they had fear. You can read in the Bible and you discover that Abraham had a time in his life where he became almost paralyzed by fear. So did Moses, so did Joshua, so did Ruth. You remember the story of Ruth? Here's a young lady. Her husband died. And she's a young widow, and she's wondering about the future, and she's wondering how she's going to have enough food and money and so on. And she, on one occasion, became very much afraid. The Bible says that Elijah became afraid, one of the greatest prophets in all of the Bible. He became afraid. We read that Isaiah was afraid, Jeremiah was afraid, Daniel was afraid. We know that all of the disciples at different times had fear in their life because Jesus, throughout the Gospels in the New Testament, he's talking to those disciples, and time and again he says to them, "Don't be afraid, fear not, don't be worried, I'm here, I'm going to take care of you." The Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian who ever lived in all of his life, he became so afraid that Jesus had to appear to him one night in a dream. And in that dream, Jesus said to Paul, in a vision that he gave him, "Don't be afraid." And so even the Apostle Paul was afraid. And so it doesn't matter who you are or how spiritually mature you are, you're never to a point where you can't have these feelings of fear that come over you. And I've noticed this, when we have these feelings of fear that come over us, we have an option. We can do one of two things. Number one, we can run, hide, give in to those fears. Or number two, we can stand very strong and refuse to give in to the fears and trust God through it. Remember the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And so when the Bible talks about a spirit of fear, it's talking about this almost an oppression, almost a heaviness, almost a physical weight that will come over you. And perhaps you've had this even as adults, and I'm going to talk to the kids a little bit about something on their level in a moment, but sometimes even as adults, we can have a fear, a spirit of fear, a heaviness that can come into our lives and that can come over us, and it can almost be physically paralyzing. In other words, you just get so afraid or so anxious in your mind that it is almost like you can't move, and it's almost like you just can't. In other words, maybe there's something that you have to do and you just have this fear that comes over you. Maybe, for example, tomorrow at work or at school, you're going to be giving a presentation in front of a group of people, and the thought of speaking in front of a group, you know, public speaking is one of the biggest fears there is. And maybe you're not used to doing that, and just the thought of it almost makes you sick at your stomach. But you know, I speak publicly most every day in some setting. And if I were totally honest with you tonight, I would have to say there are times, not all the time, but there are times, maybe 5 minutes before it's my time on a program or in a service to speak, and I have a feeling of, it's not always really a feeling of fear, but I start having these thoughts that will go through my mind. And it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens every now and then. And I know what it is. It's the devil and telling me all these bad things that are going to happen while I'm up there speaking. And if I told you some of the thoughts that have run through my mind before I get up to speak, it would scare you. You would be afraid because you think, really, he thinks that? Well, yeah, because sometimes these thoughts, I was talking to a friend the other night and we were talking about this, and my friend said to me that one time they were listening to Ann Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter, and she speaks all the time. And she was talking about how sometimes in her, when she gets up to speak before a group of people, a fear will come over her so strong that she just about can't handle it. And one of the things that she said fairly recently was, she was speaking to a group of people, I guess, at the Cove in North Carolina, her father's big convention center where all the groups go. And while she was speaking to the group of people, she had this thought, not just go through her mind, but just camped out in her mind and said, "You're not going to be able to finish this talk. You're going to pass out right here in front of everybody." And I don't know that she had ever had that thought, but she had it, and she just said it was almost paralyzing to her. And so what I'm saying to you tonight is fear is a very real thing, but it is not from God. And when we have this spirit of fear, see, when Ann Graham Lotz had that, she's up there speaking to all these people, and she's thinking, I'm going to faint, or she's thinking, what are the people going to think about me, or what might happen, or who knows what was going through her mind. She could have just shut the sermon down and run out the door and gone home and given into the fear, or she could have stood up there and been obedient and did what the Scripture says, put our hope in God. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in God. I'm just curious because I know these, and I'm going to talk to them in a minute about something on their level. But for the adults here tonight, how many of you, just honest, and don't say it just to make me feel good. I mean, just be honest. How many of you would say that sometimes, whether it's your health, your children, your finances, your future, whatever, you have thoughts in your mind that cause you to have what the Bible calls a spirit of fear? Would you just raise your hand? Well, that's basically everybody here. And for those of you who didn't raise your hand, next week we want to hear how you do it. And because we admire you, because you're stronger than the rest of us. Sometimes we have this spirit of fear. But remember this, when Jesus said, and in the Scriptures when it says, fear not, that doesn't mean don't feel afraid. You can't help but feel afraid. If you're Ann Graham Lotz and you're speaking to 300 or 400 people, and you have a thought run through your mind, you're about to pass out right in front of everybody, you can't help but feel afraid if that's what's in your mind. So when the Scripture says, fear not, don't be afraid, it's not saying don't have these feelings. You can't help having those feelings. What the Word literally means when He says don't fear, it means don't let those feelings cause you to run. Don't let those feelings cause you to hide. Don't let the, it literally mean, the word fear in the Bible literally means flight. So when Jesus came unto those disciples and He was saying, don't be afraid, again, He's not saying, don't have these feelings. He's saying, don't let these feelings dictate what you do and how you live. You stand, you trust me, you don't run, and you keep doing what it is that I've called you. You keep trusting me, and I am going to take care of you. And so when we have these feelings, it's kind of like temptation. When we're tempted to sin, we have an opportunity to honor God or honor the devil. If we give in to the temptation, we honor the devil. If we resist, we honor God. Well, when you have a spirit of fear and your body temperature rises and your heart begins to beat at a faster rhythm, and here it is, you have an opportunity to honor God or honor the devil. If you give in to it, you're honoring the devil. But if you resist that, and just remember, God said, don't fear. I am with you. I will be with you. I will not leave you. And I'm going to take care of you. Then you're not going to run. And what you're going to find is that feeling of fear will just pass. And that feeling of fear will go away. Turn it for the adults here tonight. And I want to come back to the kids. But I want the adults to see one thing. Go to Matthew chapter 14. And on this particular, in this particular passage of Scripture, Jesus is walking to His disciples on the Sea of Galilee. There's a terrible storm that is taking place there. And Jesus is walking out across that body of water, and He's wanting to bring comfort to His disciples, and because He could tell they were afraid. And in Matthew chapter 14, if you'll notice what Jesus said in verse 27, immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, watch this, it is I, do not be afraid. And something in that verse that I never had noticed till recently, when Jesus said, be of good cheer, and then at the end of the verse, He says, do not be afraid, but it's the middle of that verse that's the key. He says, it is I. In other words, if you're afraid about something, you come up to me after the service tonight and say, John, I'm afraid about whatever, and I say to you, well, don't be afraid. Well, simply telling you not to be afraid doesn't help you not to be afraid. And so when Jesus says to us, don't be afraid, He not only tells us that, but He tells us how not to be afraid. And He says, the way not to be afraid is to remember that I am here, I'm going to take care of you, and nothing bad is going to happen to you. And so what I want to say to the first graders tonight and to all of us is, the most important thing that you can learn on this night, and I think probably one of the most important things you can learn in your whole life, but for sure this year in first grade, is whenever you're afraid, just put your trust in God. And don't let that feeling cause you to run and hide and quit living your life. You just put your trust and you just put your faith in God. Now, probably before most of these kids were born. It's been that long since I told the little story that I'm going to tell tonight because I think it just it fits them so well. Some of you probably heard me tell this story 6, 7, 8 years ago about how when I was a kid, I was very afraid of the weather and of storms. How many of you boys and girls get a little bit nervous when it starts to thunder and lightning and rain really bad and the wind blows? Will you raise your hand? My dad and I were at a ball game the other night with my niece and nephew, and we were out there watching this game, and it was First Baptist Christian Academy, and my dad had my nephew, and I was with Charlie Joe, and they were sitting down towards the front, and we were sitting up at the top. And I noticed with about 6 minutes left in the second quarter, the teams both just started running off the field into the dressing room. And I thought, well, maybe the clock's broken. Maybe that's why they're going in. But the clock wasn't broken. It was something else. And so I started asking around, what's going on? Why are the players running into the dressing room? And somebody said, well, there's lightning, and there's a rule. If there's lightning, the players have to get off the field for 30 minutes. And so I thought, well, that's good. We'll just kind of wait it out. We were sitting there in the stands, and I was thinking, now, they have rubber cleats, and they just left a grass field. We're in aluminum bleachers, and here we are while the lightning comes. But it was so far away, I didn't think there'd be anything to it. But there was such a long delay, we just finally gave up on the thing and left. But the point is, in a setting like that, especially if you're young, you can get afraid. And guys, what I want to say to you, when I was your age, I used to be very much afraid of the weather. In fact, I'm embarrassed to tell you guys this because you're going to think bad of me. Y'all are in first grade. When I was in the fourth grade, I mean, I was 3 years older than what y'all are tonight. I was so afraid of the weather that some people thought I was a girl. I think that's probably right. I was so afraid of the weather. And one day I was in, everybody knew I was afraid of the weather. And I remember one time that my teacher took me outside and she starts explaining the clouds. And she said, John, the clouds are blowing away and everything's going to be fine. I was so afraid of the weather. One day I was at school and a bad storm blew. I lived in Tennessee at that time, long way from here. And the city where we lived was kind of situated between some mountains, and so bad weather could come blow up through those down through those mountains. And one day at school, I'm telling you, it was a bad storm. It was, the wind was blowing, the thunder was, the lightning was just really, and I had this spirit of fear. I was very much afraid, and I wanted to go home. And yet I knew that I couldn't go home because you're not allowed to go home when it rains. Now, I had tried that, and you can't do it. And so I felt like, well, I've got to get home, but I don't know how to get out of here because you can't go home just because it's raining. And so, boys and girls, I'll tell you what I did. Now, don't ever do this, okay? Because if you do, you're going to get me and you both in trouble if you pull this off. I went into the boys' bathroom, and there was a metal trash can in there. And I was shorter then than I am now. I took my arm and started beating it on that trash can as hard as I could till it got really red. And then I went to the principal's office and I said, I fell down and broke my arm and I need to go home. They said, well, John, how did it happen? I said, it was in the restroom. It was slippery. I slipped and fell. It's broken. I need out of here quickly, quickly. They called my dad. He came, picked me up. He's taking me to Dr. Shea's office there in Lenore City, Tennessee for the x-ray. And my dad starts questioning me. And he said, now, John, how did this happen? You were in the bathroom, and you slipped, and your arm sure is red. And he said, how did this happen? Well, I said, well, Dad, to tell you the truth, and I told him what I had done. Let me just say this. The fear that I had from the weather storm began to go away when Hurricane Charles blew through that car. And he gave me a nice talking to about lying and being deceptive and trying to beat the system and all these things. And I had a far worse storm on my hands in that car than I did if I had just stayed at school and toughed it out a little bit. But everybody knew I was afraid. I'm telling you, now that I look back on it, I was in the fourth grade, and I was so scared every time it did that. One time, one of the assistant pastors at our church, his name was Glenn Gregg, he said to my dad, he said, Brother Charles, he said, if you'll let me take John to get a hamburger, I can help him with his fear of the weather. And so one day he came and got me out of school on a bad weather day. I was so glad. Took me to the, now in the little town I grew up in, we weren't big enough to have a Burger King, but he took me to the Burger Queen. That's true. We had a Burger Queen. small town. And we were sitting there, and I was just glad that he had taken me away from school on this bad weather day. And he's talking to me about the weather and trusting God and all these things. And at the end of it, he thought I was so much better. And he said, "Well, John, you seem like you're doing better." He said, "Can I take you back to, you ready to go back to school?" I said, "Oh, no, I want to go home. It's still raining out there." Nobody was making any progress helping me over my fear. We had a neighbor that lived up the way from us, and his name was Lynn Hartsook, Lynn and Ruby Hartsook. He was a good man. He's a car dealer, just a good guy. And back in Tennessee, we used to get a lot of snow over there. And so when my brother and I were y'all's age, we would always pray on Super Bowl Sunday that it would snow so we didn't have to go to church on that night. And sometimes our prayer got answered. But Mr. Lynn and I had a lot of conversations about the weather, and he knew I was having a problem with this, and everybody had tried to help me, and it was not getting any better. And one day, he came to see me, and he gave me something when I was in, the fourth grade. Now, this has been a long time ago. He said, "John, I've got something I want to give you," and he sat me down, and he started giving me a little talking to. And he said, "I know you really worry about this weather, and every time it storms, you think something bad's going to happen to you." And he said, "I want to give you something to help you." And I was desperate. I mean, I would take anything. And he said, gave me this. And I said, "What is this?" He said, "This is called a worry rock." And he said, "You put it in your pocket. You don't have to tell anybody about it. But anytime you get worried, you just put your hand in your pocket and you start rubbing that rock. If y'all could see, it has a little indention for your thumb." And so all my fourth grade year, I walked around doing this. But I noticed my fear didn't go away. My thumb just got sore. That was the only thing that happened. And so I thought, well, the assistant pastor has not helped me. My teacher hasn't helped me. Lynn Hartsook hasn't helped me. Every time, people are telling me everything's going to be okay, I can't seem to get over my fear of this bad weather. Well, I'll tell you what happened. About that time, in fact, a year before that, I had memorized a poem, and I'm going to try to quote it. Some of y'all have heard it. These kids haven't. So the rest of you, just listen to it again, okay, and let them hear it for the first time. I had to quote a poem one day in one of my classes, and I had memorized the poem and quoted the poem, but a year after and later after that, I began to think more seriously about this poem, and this poem that I'm going to share with you tonight was one of the things when I was a little bit older than you that God used to help me stop worrying about the weather. And now, guys, I got to tell you, when it rains, I just sit back and enjoy it. I love a good storm just to watch the rain come down. The poem was written by a man named Richard M. Peck Gunn. Richard M. Peck Gunn. Peck was his middle, kind of his nickname, I guess. And I should have brought it to you tonight. I have it in my home. It's a picture of, has his poem, and it's a picture of those beautiful mountains in East Tennessee, the Smoky Mountains. Nothing quite like that as far as I'm concerned. And here's this old man, probably in his 90s, and he's got a hat that he's kind of holding down in his one hand, and of course he's got glasses on, and he's got a cane. He's gotten old. He's having to use a cane. And evidently, when this man was younger, like you are, like I was when I was worried about the weather, he had a problem worrying about everything. He was always worried and always uptight about everything. But as he got older, he learned that he didn't need to worry because God was always going to take care of him. And he wrote about this in a poem. Well, like I say, I had memorized this poem, but I just memorized it to get a good grade in the class. It was later on when I started thinking about this poem that I stopped worrying about the weather or really anything else. And here's what he said as he came to the end of his life. Now, he wrote it in the East Tennessee dialect, okay? So it's a little different than how we would say it out here in Texas. And I'll do my best to try to quote this tonight. He said, "I's been fretting about the future and the things that I's been told about what happens to us folkses when we starts to getting old. So I took a little journey to the eastern part of the state and gazed at all that pretty scenery till the time was getting late. Sakes alive, what gorgeous colors, like the rainbow in the sky. I just can't explain my feelings, but I couldn't help but cry. As I stared at them big mountains, trees and flowers everywhere, from my heart there welled up praises, for my Lord had put them there. Now, I ain't fretting any longer, for there's one thing that I see. If my dear Lord made them mountains, He can sure take care of me. Amen. Isn't that good? I mean, you think about that. And so I want to say to you boys and girls tonight, you got nothing to worry about. And I want to say to you adults here tonight, you got nothing to worry about either. What I'm saying tonight works for a kid when he's scared or she's scared with the weather, and it works for an adult when we're scared about something else. I visited an 88-year-old man last night in the hospital, one of our active members, Hoyt Roberts, retired missionary from within our denomination, a faithful man of God. Several weeks ago, he got into a bad car accident, could have been killed, and they took him to one of the hospitals, and they ran x-rays on him, and they said, well, you banged up a little bit, but nothing's broken, you're going to be okay, you need to just go on home and kind of let your body get stronger. Well, he went home, and a day or two later, I mean, the pain wasn't better, it was worse, and so he told his family, he lives alone, told his family, they took him to another hospital, they ran another set of x-rays. They said, we don't know what this other hospital was thinking, sir. You have 9 broken ribs and a broken collarbone. 9 broken ribs and a broken collarbone. For a little money after the service, I'll tell you which hospital that was. And he said, well, do I have surgery? What do we do? They said, you can't have surgery for these broken ribs. They got to just heal. And as far as his collarbone's concerned, because of the nature of the break, it's going to have to just heal on its own. He's been in 2 different hospitals, and now he's in kind of a rehab. And I wanted him to rest up. I didn't want to go see him when he was having a hard time breathing and talking, so I went by and saw him last night. When I walked in his room, you know what I sensed in that godly man? 88 years old, total peace. You know what he was worried about? Not a thing in the world. In fact, he's sitting there watching a ball game on TV. Just not worried about anything. Why? Because he's learned what that poem says. If God made the mountains, God hung the sun, the moon, the stars, God knit us together in our mother's womb. Now think about this. God has taken care of us up to this point in the journey, that God is not going to forget us now. Amen? He's going to guide us, and He's going to lead us and take care of us all the way to heaven. And Father, tonight for the first graders, I pray that you'll help them to know that whenever they have that feeling of being afraid, whatever maybe it's the weather for them like it was for me, God, help them to know they don't have to be afraid because you're going to take care of them. Lord, for the rest of us here tonight who are probably not spending much time worrying about the weather, but God, it may be 1,000 other things that the devil puts these thoughts in our mind and it paralyzes us. God, help us to remember that's not of you. And God, just like you don't want us to give in to temptation, you don't want us to give in to feelings of fear. You want us to resist that, to trust you, and to keep moving forward. God, just like some people have to be liberated from alcohol addictions or drug addictions, sexual addictions, gambling addictions, God, some need to be liberated from an anxiety addiction, from a fear addiction. God, that can be just as real, maybe worse than the other substances. And so, Father, we want to walk in the freedom that you want us to enjoy, the freedom that you died, Jesus, so that we would have. And I pray that you'll help us to trust you whenever we feel afraid. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen.